Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And boy, it's been a fun show today. Getting a lot of great interviews. And a pretty special one here, talking to the Big Sky Conference's Defensive Player of the Week. And that is Bears defensive lineman David Hoag. My goodness, I don't even think I can read all these stats in the amount of time we had. 8 tackles, 4 for loss, 3 sacks, recovered 2 fumbles, had 5 more quarterback hurries. David, my friend, you were all over the field last week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had to be.
Well, congratulations to you, man. I mean, we were talking to Dylan earlier. It's just there's a vibe around this team, and it's just really exciting. And I know folks are so pumped to see you in Greeley this weekend.
Most definitely, especially for the first home game. It's going to be something big. We're trying to change the culture, trying to change what UNC used to be and make it what it is now.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about that because you're one of those players in that transition, and I want to kind of get your thoughts there. But first off, what does it mean to you, your first career Big Sky Defensive Player of the Week honor? I mean, when you start seeing honors like that, individual awards for players, and then you start seeing a win, fans start perking up. The conference starts perking up and going, okay, all right, maybe this Bears team is turning things around. Maybe this team is for real. Talk to us about how that felt to hear that you won that award.
I felt amazed. I felt like pride of joy, but I had to come down to my senses and realize, okay, if I could get this one, I might could get a back-to-back. If I could get a back-to-back, okay, it's more possibilities opening. So this is not my first time getting it, and it will not be my first time getting it. So that's what my mindset is at. I'm super stoked for the other games, and I just know that I have to get at least 3 more of those and possibly become all conference.
Well, David, if you get 3 of those in a row in the bowling world, it's called a turkey. I don't know if you're a bowler, but it's a special thing, man. It's really cool. And again, those numbers, I mean, it's one thing to get that honor, but I mean, you were everywhere on the field and defensively, you guys, and I go back to the Buffs game. You guys have been tough. You guys have been playing some pretty darn good defense first 2 weeks of the season.
We have. I feel like we had a chip on our shoulder after the CE Buffs game. It was a great game, but we didn't play to our fullest potential. With the HBU game, I still feel like we made a little bit more mistakes, but we didn't come out as timid. We came out having fun, doing what we know how to do, doing what we could do. And that's how I like to play. I don't like playing like I'm overthinking, like I'm being cautious. I like just flying around the ball, having fun, and just becoming the greatest player ever.
David, I think a lot of people after the Buffs game were, and I was one of those guys, was like, wow, that defense. I mean, you guys were, given this team, this Buffs team. And I mean, Jarek Broussard, those running backs, he was the Pac-12 player of the year last year. And I would say through 90% of that, you guys were maintaining this rushing attack. And of course, some weird penalties and things like that kind of zapped the momentum. But how did you think about that? Were you impressed by that? Were you shocked at all? Or was this what you were expecting going into playing a Pac-12 team?
I expected an upset playing the Pac-12 team.
I love that mentality, man. I do.
I wasn't disappointed, but I knew that we could have done better, especially on the offensive side. But the defensive side, we could have done way better. There was some weird calls, but that shouldn't stop our momentum. That shouldn't stop how we're going. That shouldn't stop where we're going. So I expected us to win, at least for defense to shut the offense down. But, you know, it happened. Just move forward, and now we got a chip on our shoulder.
We're talking to sophomore defensive lineman David Hoag, the Big Sky Conference defensive player of the week. They got Lamar coming up at home on Saturday. That place hopefully is bumping. We're hearing so much about fans getting excited for that game. So I know you guys are looking forward to that. David, talk to us about the transition. 2019, you know, you're playing in all those games under the old regime, then the hire to Ed McCaffrey, then COVID and all that stuff. There's a lot of fun players to talk to that have been here and that are new here. What's that been like for you, kind of seeing both sides?
It wasn't really nothing new. I came from Smoky Hill High School, graduated in 2019, went there my sophomore year, and for 2 years we had the old coaching staff. My senior year, we switched up the old coaching staff to a new coaching staff, and we went undefeated my senior year.
Wow, so it's nothing really new to you then?
No, it's not. As far as COVID, that was new for everybody.
Yeah, right.
Before the CU game, it's almost been 2 years since we played a full football game. And saying that right now is unbelievable. It's really, like, unheard of. But during those 2 years, we took the time to evaluate what changes we need to make. We took the time to come up with a game plan. And the first game, we had our first game jitters. It's been 2 years, but the HBU game, it was something to see.
Well, and I think that was nice to see that, too. You guys end up winning 45-13. It just felt like one of those games where everything was clicking. And like you said, and I love that mindset of, hey, there's still things we got to correct. But for the most part, it had to feel nice for you guys to be able to click on every cylinder, to get the offense going, to get the defense dominating, led by you, of course. Special teams was rolling. When you walk away from that, it's got to be a pretty good feeling knowing, all right, we've got it all covered here.
It was a perfect feeling. But during halftime, we also got cussed out by the coach, and he said, you know, pick it up. HBU is a good team, but it should have been 21-0 coming out of halftime. You know, and that's just the mentality that we set, and that's the mentality that we're trying to perform during these next games. And we shouldn't hold ourselves to no less of a standard. We should just keep going, keep pushing, and know that we might become undefeated. And that's our game plan.
Again, I think just getting that first win sometimes is can be such a relieving situation for you guys. You know, with not playing for so many days with COVID, with Ed McCaffrey who's been here a while but has only coached two games. That was kind of a cool moment too. I was listening to the broadcast and it sounded like right before Coach McCaffrey was doing his post-game interview, you guys covered him up in some Gatorade for that first win as being a head college football coach.
It's our first step to making history. For a couple of years, especially my freshman year, the last coaches that was here, we was on a two game win streak, if you call it that, and it was both Idaho teams, you know. And going back home and just hearing about it, and I'm pretty sure I could speak for every athlete on this team. It was depressing. It was, we felt like we let people down. And it wasn't anything or any hate, any shade towards the old coaches. I loved them. I loved them. I still talk to some of them now. They still check up on us. But it's, when it comes down to business, it's something different.
We're talking to David Hogue, the Big Sky Conference Defensive Player of the Week. What's your relationship? Obviously, Ed, head football coach, runs a lot of the offensive side. But let's go back to Scott Darnell, the defensive coordinator. What's that like with him? I mean, you said, you know, at halftime, you guys, they're getting up in your face. They're getting you pumped up, getting you ready to go.
He is an amazing defensive coordinator. He talks us through everything. He lets us have an opinion on some plays that might not work, some plays that will work. He doesn't hold anything back. He tells the truth, nothing but the truth. He never sugarcoats anything. He always plays the best players. And when you're having a bad week, he's going to let you know you're having a bad week when you're not playing. And that's just how it is. It's nothing personal. Never put personal stuff in the way. He just does what he has to do.
And that's what we've heard that so much about him and as far as the connection with you guys. You obviously think about this, like you said, you felt like maybe for lack of a better term, you felt like you let fans down overall. But when you talk to the team, when you talk to your coaching staff, I mean, do you feel that, though? Like you said, we want to make history here. We don't just want to put together a couple wins. We want to make history. We want to turn this football program upside down. And for you, a player that obviously you were very good then, you're very good now, and it seems like all the pieces are there. Do you talk about that a lot, where it's like, man, we can change the culture, not just of a football program, but the entire area surrounding this community?
Yes, of course. We always talk about that. And we always talk about what ifs. Sometimes those what ifs kind of gets in the way of what is supposed to happen. So we always get caught up in the future and not focus on the present. Or some might be caught up in the past and not focus on the present. We have the tools. We really have the tools. We didn't have the tools. It's just some parts were missing. But if we could get all the parts and all the tools, we'll build a good foundation.
David, how excited are you for this weekend, man? The first home game. Again, a lot of fans traveled down to Boulder. I was in that little section there, and there was a lot of buzz surrounding Bears fans. But being in Greeley this weekend, going up against Lamar, how much are you looking forward to seeing a big chunk of Bears fans surrounding that stadium?
I'm looking forward to it. I am super excited. It's our first home game. Let's do it.
What's the vibe been for you? Like, what have you? Because I feel it in the community going around. Everybody's like, man, this Bears team. Hey, they gave CU all they could handle. How about last week taking Houston Baptist? What are you feeling on campus?
I'm feeling like everybody's shocked, everybody's surprised, you know, because everybody expected the same old UNC football team. And again, this is just two games in, so. It brings me to curiosity, how will we be during the eighth game, ninth game? I hope we don't get too big-headed, and I hope we don't get – I hope you stay humble. I hope that we realize where we came from, where we're at right now, and where we're going.
Well, I think with leaders like you, man, I think you guys will do just that. I think you'll do a fantastic job of just looking one weekend ahead. And so what do you get? Do you get a big trophy for that award, man? Where's that thing going? Or what does it look like? I mean, again, it's just, it blows my mind. Those awards are just so awesome.
It is. I'm not sure. Coaches was joking with me saying a nice steak dinner, but
hey,
all that is fine, but I'm looking to get another one.
Hey, go get another one. We'll get you back on the show, man. Go get that turkey that we talked about, right? I mean, I'm probably the only interviewer that ever brought up bowling in a football interview, but I couldn't help myself, man. I had to do it.
Most definitely. I like it. I like that.
David, what do you like to do in the meantime, man? Is it all football all the time, or what else are you into for entertainment, for relaxation? What else do you do, man?
Well, first is school. After school, after I get everything done with school, it's practice. After practice, music. I meal prep, make sure everything is good for meal prepping, and just music and reading, some TV shows, and just having fun, you know, hanging out with the football players and talking about mainly basically about football, but if it's not about football, then it's about family. And That's where I'm at. I can't see my family as much, but that was my decision, because I know during the football season this has to change, and I'm willing to make those kind of sacrifices. And they definitely understand. So to deal with that, to cope with that, I hang around my family out here, which is some of my friends. They might not be on the football team, but they support it. And most of my friends, which is on the football team, and they already support me, and they support what we do.
Now, David, I love to hear it, man. Rooting for you guys. Cannot wait. Planning on being there Saturday. So, it's going to be a great atmosphere. And, hey, go get that second win. Go get that second Big Sky honor, man. We're looking forward to it.
Most definitely. And now on the team, is definitely a competition on who could get the most Big Sky.
Hey, I love it, man. Hey, that's friendly competition. And that, what do they say? Iron sharpens iron, man. I'm excited for it. I'll be pumped to see how you guys do. That defense is going to be fun, man. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. As defensive lineman for the UNC Bears, David Hogue earned his first career Big Sky Defensive Player of the Week honor. That's a good dude right there, man. I love it because he's not looking too far ahead, but he's all, let's face it. Players love these awards. These are great awards. And he's not saying, hey, no, I like it. He's saying, I love this award. I want to earn more. And by doing that, you're going to make this defense really special. I mean, look at those numbers. 8 tackles, 4 for a loss, 3 sacks, 2 fumbles, 5 quarterback hurries. I bet you the Houston Baptist quarterbacks just having nightmares about David Hogue, man. But it's exciting. So, folks, I tell you what, I got a pair of tickets to give away for UNC and Lamar this Saturday. Think about this, man. The very first home game, the very first Greeley game for Ed McCaffrey and this rebooted football team. And you could go. Save that ticket stub, my friends. I'm going to go caller number 3. I will need your email address because you'll be receiving it via email. So I need your first and last name and your email. Let's go caller 3 on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. Caller number 3, you're getting a pair of tickets to go see UNC Lamar on Saturday. It's kind of historic, so you might want to check it out. 970-353-1310. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to the whole show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you listen to the whole show on 1310 KFK.
Oh boy, welcome back to the show. I mean, Colfax, we've never got this excited about UNC football. We've never been this excited about UNC football. Fans, this is the time. Get out there to this game this weekend. Congrats to Matt for winning those tickets, by the way. But if you don't have tickets, you should seriously consider it. UNCBears.com. And I think so, yeah. UNCBears.com. Yeah. Go there. Find ways to get tickets. I've talked about it all offseason and the offseason before that about, was this move just a marketing gimmick? Is this really going to do it? Is he really going to win some football games? Well, you're 1-1, and I'm telling you what. You went up and you punched CU twice, like, bam, bam, you got 2 good ones in. And then CU kind of like, all right, and then they did karate on you. But you went up there to a team that was supposed to beat you by 40, and you went up right up to them, took their best shot. You punched them in the face 3 or 4 times, took their best shot, stayed in this thing. It was 21-7 in the third, mid-third. There were believers in the stands. There were some sad Buffs fans. And then the Buffs go and almost beat Texas A&M. They should have beat them. They had this team on the ropes. And I looked this morning, the rankings are out. Texas A&M's still number 7. So they don't really look at it as, oh, well, you know, they almost lost to CU. So that's going to knock them down. It knocked them down 2 spots. So it's definitely an exciting time. Congratulations to David Hogue, the Big Sky Conference Defensive Player of the Week. We had Dylan McCaffrey on. We're going to be doing that. We're calling it the quarterback's corner. I don't know why I said room, Colfax, presented by First Advantage Bank. But Dylan's going to join us every single week. We'll find out if he's going to play this weekend against Lamar. Lamar got absolutely shellacked over the weekend, 54-0. So, I mean, I know I saved my picks for Friday, but the Bears are going to go get another one. They're going to go win this weekend, and they're going to be 2-1, and I don't remember the last time we said a Bears team's 2-1. So excitement around UNC, certainly concern around Colorado State. We're going to talk to CSURams.com Mike Brohard about the Rams. They got Toledo coming up this weekend. Can they do it? We'll get to that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm just curious, was this a special request? It was. I just never know, because I know Mike Brohard appreciates the tunes. And he makes comments about the tunes that Colfax plays. And Mike, can you give us some more recommendations, man? We want to bring you in with stuff that you like.
Well, I talked to Cole last week. I believe we discussed The Clash. The Clash is always a really good choice.
Okay.
But yeah, anything on this era is pretty good. The Beatles are always great too.
All right, Colfax, we got right. We got a couple. We get the more options, the better, man. We're gonna hook you up, okay?
No, Colton, he does a great job. He's always taking care of me.
And he writes half of the songs that we play, man. I mean, he's that good. My goodness.
He's very talented, yeah. I heard he's an excellent drummer, too.
Oh, he can do it. Well, I don't know if you've heard the Thursday Night Specials yet, Mike, but I got to send you those. Colfax has some wonderful renditions of songs that have days in them. He just changes it to Thursday. It's fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll get you the record over. I mean, Christmas isn't that far away. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, this was 14-0. I'm feeling great about this Rams team. I'm already picturing the headlines. Hey, not to worry, Rams turning this thing around. Vanderbilt just makes some adjustments. What was the difference there from 14-0 to, well, kind of a 21-point run for Vanderbilt?
I think they're still trying to figure that out because they were running the same type of plays, but they had some penalties get in the way of some things that they wanted to do. And I think you saw at the end of the game, there's 11 penalties for 115 yards. It's way too many. You can't win football games that way. I remember one key series. So, you know, you come out in the second half, yeah, that first drive doesn't go anywhere. I believe the next one, they were looking at 3rd and 1, and all of a sudden they jump offside. And an offside penalty is not something that you need. So all of a sudden, the 3rd and 1 QB sneak at midfield becomes a 3rd and 6, and they didn't perform well in 3rd and medium this past game. That was like the 1 3rd down place where they really didn't succeed. And one thing led to another. So I think it got somewhat in their head, or instead of fighting back against the adversity, which Steve Adazio talks about all the time as part of the maturation of this team is, you've got to fight through adversity. You've got to be mentally tough. You've got to overcome, adapt. I'm starting to sound like a Clint Eastwood movie. you do stuff. They didn't do that in the 3rd quarter. And then, I mean, that's what makes that final drive to tie the game at 21 so remarkable is it came from out of nowhere. They hadn't shown any of that since the 1st quarter, and now all of a sudden here it was, and they just drove down the field like there was nothing to it. That's the point where they're getting to. Obviously, I don't think any coach ever goes, we're going to have 10 drives today. We're going to produce 10 scoring drives. It just doesn't happen. But you want to be more consistent than your first four drives look pretty good, but you didn't capitalize on all of them, and then you go 6 drives before you ever do anything again.
Yeah, it's always so interesting when you see it, you know, when you see this Rams team right off the bat. Wow, this offense is moving downfield, the rushing attack's flowing, Todd's getting out on play actions, rolling out, he was looking good, and as you said, some weird transitions there, and the penalties, obviously, those are just going to kill you every single time. So we heard Coach Adazio talking about, I think the question was something around the locker room and guys hanging their head. Coach clearly frustrated with that conversation. From what you've seen so far, Mike, with the players, how are they feeling? We talked to Ellison yesterday, but that's just one guy. How's the group collectively feeling going forward? Because bottom line is, there's a lot of football to play.
Yeah, there's still 10 more games to be played, and you know, I can understand the reporter asked a question. It's a legitimate question, but it's also week 2. So, yeah, they're frustrated, that's for sure. But I don't think anybody's just throwing it out the window. You haven't even gotten to conference play yet. And let's be honest, this team and the next 2 games are not easy. Toledo, the road trip to Toledo, not easy. Road trip to Iowa, definitely not easy. They're ranked number 5 in the country. Then you get a bye week. Then the second half of the season is your conference. It's almost a reset button no matter what you've done in your non-conference, especially the way the schedule works out, being an even split non-conference, then all conference, you almost get a reset button. And everything that a program is really going to be measured on, if you think about it, how did you do in conference play? If CSU were to go 0-4 in non-conference play and then but make improvements, come out of that bye week, and you open up your first conference game and you knock off the defending Mountain West champions, the mood starts to change. If you went 0-4 and then went 8-0 the rest of the way through, what does that make you? Mountain West champions. Nobody's going to complain about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, we talk about this every single year. I think, I mean, Ellison mentioned, he's like, there's plenty of teams that start 0-2, and they were supposed to beat those two teams, and then the next thing you know, they're turning it around, and you do hear that, and I think that's the side that you know, gets lost. You look at South Dakota State, you look at Vanderbilt, and you're thinking, okay, those were games we fans perhaps expected to win, but I mean, how many times, Mike, you've been covering this Rams team for so long. You've been covering college football. How many times has that happened in those first 2 weeks where maybe a couple of blowouts happen and they're a completely different team 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back, and even if you look at McLean's first year, they beat CU right out of the gate. Yeah. Everybody's like, man, this is it. This is a savior. Everything's going great. You come back the next week, you lose to North Dakota State, and people are like, what? Hmm. Next thing you know, that was a 3-9 season. Then it got started to get turned around. That's really what this program needs to see. They need to start winning games, obviously, and Steve talked about that. He's not happy with losing. He is happy with seeing some of the progress, and yes, he wants to see some of that progress start to lead to victories. And it's not going to be an easy road right now, but he's not using that as an excuse. It's just this program needs to get there, and they need to keep seeing improvement. So you saw improvement from week one to week two. It did not lead to victory. That doesn't mean you stop, keep trying to improve. If they make the same improvement from week two to week three, who knows what happens at Toledo, you know? People are going to write off the Iowa game because they are ranked number 5 in the country, but you keep improving from week three to week four, maybe you play Iowa in a really good game, and then all of a sudden you're not worried about if you've lost the locker room. It's what can you do from here on out?
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. And Mike, talk to us about that. The rushing attack, especially in that first half, it seemed like it was starting to click. David Bailey really getting in the rhythm there. Ajon Vivens, we saw him have a couple of good carries. So, like you said, there's improvement on that, the offensive line. We talked about the trenches so much needing to be better. Yeah. Well, we did see that both on the offensive and the defensive line side for the most part.
You did. And the sad thing was is that you really wanted to see in that third quarter, Adazio touched on it. That's when a back really should start to kind of take over a game. And because there was no flow to that offense in the third quarter, Bailey rushes for better than 6 yards a carry. He goes 80 on 15 carries. You would love to see those numbers, and you're going, why didn't he carry the ball 25 times? Well, they never sustained a drive for an entire 15-minute period, so it's hard to get a running back up. And then all of a sudden you're behind. It changes your play calling a bit. That was a perfect example. They did. They got the running game going a little bit. Now they just need to find a way to sustain drives, keep them going, and get a chance to really wear down a defense. That's the next step that you want to get, because Bailey had a great game, but so did Ajon. Ajon came in, and he's a great change of speed back. He had some explosive runs. David Bailey had an explosive run. Those are things that you want to see. You want to see an offense. Everybody thinks, you know, explosive offense, it's the passing game. No, you want to see that in the run game, too. You go back a couple of years, Marvin Kinsey was explosive in the run game for us. Dalen Dawkins was explosive in the run game. That's where you want to get to.
Mike, how much can you tell us about Dante Wright at this point?
I can't tell you anything about it. It's just he's somebody they're going to keep their eye on. There's a couple of guys, obviously, 2 weeks into the season. It was a pretty physical game.
Yeah.
Both games were. You know, there's some guys you're going to take right up to the end. And, I mean, I wouldn't know until you get on the team plane on Friday and you see who's on the team plane.
Okay. How much have you broken into Toledo? Again, we saw what they did against Notre Dame. I'm almost pulled that thing off. Notre Dame ends up winning 32-29. But what are the big concerns looking at the Rockets at this point?
When I look at the Rockets, and it's still the same concerns, if you go back to the 2019 game, Bryant Kobach ran for 228 yards, broke off a 75-yard touchdown run against CSU. They rushed for 400 and some yards in that game. He's back. He ran well against, you know, Notre Dame. They're still running the ball. This defense has to be in tune to be able to stop the run. That team, though, back in 2019, their quarterback was more of a running threat than he was a passing threat, kind of managed the passing game. This year, they're throwing the ball a little bit more. That will, and we've seen the CSU secondary has had some challenges. They're going to have to continue to improve and get better because they will try to mix in a blend. But it's going to stop with, if Kovac goes off and has another big game, that makes it for a long day.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, what do you do offensively? We know Trey McBride's getting his. I mean, he's as good as advertised this year. I mean, those are already monster numbers he's putting together. As you get into these crazier opponents, like you said, Toledo and Iowa, I mean, don't you think they just have, like, they're circling Trey McBride like 37 times, and they're going to do their best to try to take him out of the game?
I think everybody's going to do that, but that's the beauty of what Trey McBride does, is that he's a matchup problem. Because you line him up and he runs routes off, you know, the line of scrimmage. You split him out, you get him on a nickel. You've very rarely seen their best cover guy take on Trey McBride. You might start seeing some of that, but still, the nature of the position is, Trey, you know, if you look and you look at last week's game, he was split out as the wide. He was split out in the slot. He was lined up on the line of scrimmage. He was a step back off the line of scrimmage. They move him around to make it hard to defend him, and I think that's why you're still going to be able to see throughout the year, Trey McBride's going to get a lot of targets.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? As good as he is, and not just locally, nationally, everybody knows he is one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end in the country, yet day in, day out, he's still going to produce. And, man, I just love watching him block. It was crazy. I would have never – I've never said that about anybody before, that I'd almost rather watch them block than catch football passes.
No, he's really good at that, and I can't believe he'd say – I mean, I used to love to watch Adam Prentice block.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, I mean, yeah. There was an offense that had a fullback in it. There, people still do that.
What's
but Prentice was great to watch block.
Yeah.
He was one of those types, too. So,
yeah. It's just something for me. I mean, I like watching a good run game, for sure. But, yeah, seeing, yep. Something about seeing McBride just push people across the field. It's kind of comical, but it's also very terrifying if you put yourself in the person that's being blocked position as well. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that you offer up to do that at practice.
I don't think so, man. I'm going to stay away from that. Well, Mike, let's see, man. Let's see if this Rams team can turn the page. I mean, I tell you what, Toledo's, they're proving obviously to be a good team. And if this Rams team can get it to click, we've seen a couple of those things take hold. If they can, boy, maybe our conversation's a lot different next Tuesday.
Yeah, and it really could be. And that's the fun part about college football is teams lose every Saturday that you don't expect to lose to a team that you never thought would beat them. So why not try to be that team that's going to raise some eyebrows? And you do that not by worrying about what you've done in the past, but looking at the mistakes, fixing them, trying to get better, and that's the message that Adazio and the players keep pushing to themselves. We need to just keep getting better.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our eyes out for it, man. Looking forward to it. Mike, what are you working on in the meantime that we can check out at CSURams.com?
I've got a story coming out in about 13 minutes because I'm fascinated by the fact that David Bailey has been such an active part of the passing game. And I went back and looked at his numbers from BC, and I thought it was rather stunning. He's been very active here. He was not so active at BC, and I think that's an interesting dynamic that CSU is going to continue to capitalize on throughout the season.
Yeah, no question. I think that's going to be a guy that's going to continue to put up some big numbers. Mike, look forward to that. Always appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, take care, and I'll look forward to what Cole's got on the radio as my intro.
We'll get something good, man. He's cooking up something. I can see it in his eyes.
Something good. I've never had. I mean, he really stunned me the first week when he went with old school Cinderella. I mean, that was great.
I mean, he pulls out some amazing stuff, man. He's good. He's good.
He's got the good stuff. He really does. He's like Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, no question about it. He's everything. He's a wonderful man. His head's getting gigantic, by the way. So
he's also
that.
A good wrestler too. I think he wanted me to throw that in.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you, dude.
Take care.
All right, that's Mike Brohard. Colfax, easy, man. Easy. You know, people already fill your head with stuff. People already go up to your remotes and they're like, are you Colfax? And it's just, it's really weird. I mean, they just love you. Eastside Chris, Colfax, Colfax, am I still in line for season tickets from last? Yeah, you won the season tickets. I think they're here. They're here, Eastside Chris. We want you to go to the game, man. Like, guy's asking you, did you even know? Yeah, Weld County Swami, what are you talking about? What proof do we have that that's going to happen? I'm guessing something around the Colorado State Rams. All right, we got to take a break here. Dixon, I want to read your text. Dixon, Brady couldn't listen yesterday. First time using the new text line, kind of nervous. Are there any new rules? Do I have to start all over, try to get you on a tilt or on tilt? Are the Broncos still going 11-6? Absolutely. Are Susan and Cheryl still doing okay? Meh. Do Pillow Fight Dan's text still suck? Absolutely. To be fair, didn't Texas A&M miss their starting quarterback get hurt on the first series? No, was it the it wasn't the first series. It was the second quarter, wasn't it? Double check that. But I watched all of that game, unless I was strangely hammered that early, which, you know, wouldn't be the first time. Notice the new text line doesn't have any effect on me. Still owning Colfax in fantasy football, so that's a good thing. Ooh, didn't go so well, did it? Yikes. Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
Catch the Ellis and Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
It was a very busy Top Text Tuesday. I mean, normally it's not this busy because we don't have 462 interviews on a Tuesday, but we had some great ones, man. I mean, you step aside when it's when you get great people like Dylan McCaffrey, David Hogue, those guys all on the program. All right, Colbs, we have to announce a winner. I'm going Weld County Swami today. He said, Chris, whoa, just realized why Chief Dixon is so good. He uses up all the text time for Top Text Tuesday. That way it takes me all that time to read his text. Yeah, that's a good strategy. Send a novel, and I won't be able to read anybody else's. Thanks to Dylan McCaffrey, David Hogue, Mike Brohard, Zach Stevens, Colfax, and a sad day for Norm McDonald. Good night, Northern Colorado.